when you're just feeling blah. You like, and when I mean blah, I mean just not feeling good, just feeling just awful. You know, your throat was hurting the other day, and then you know, it turns into like a slight cold, and you just feel drained and tired. You just don't feel like doing a whole lot. What do you do when pigskin frenzy comes calling? Well, I rub some dirt on it, I take some cold medicine, and I get right back into the game to talk about some college football. Throat's feeling fine, wiped it out with some antibiotics, we're good. Cold, still a little bit there, I'm getting better, but my voice, I'm not trying to sound, you know, so monotone to where the show's going to bore you. Please do not leave. Please don't leave. Just listen to the episode. Sorry, because my monotone voice is just my nose. I promise I'm feeling a lot better now. Still feeling a little, you know, iffy, but I still feel a lot, tons better from the other day when my throat just was absolutely killing me during that draft special. But we made it through. We made it through. Guys, welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris, and whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean, or listening on Apple, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, and Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow lots of pages there. You're going to get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You are going to get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's trivia question, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, the website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. There, you'll find more about me, learn more about me on the Home and About Me page. You can go to our affiliations page, which brings us to our proud partner, The Beard Club. Guys, if you want to just look perfect, you want to look good, you want to look stylish, you want to look great listening to this show, and not only just listening to the show, but in general, go to The Beard Club. Significant others of your man and men out there listening to this show, you want to look stylish, you want to look good, go to my website, go to my link tree, and click on the link to look good and make your facial hair needs and grooming needs met at The Beard Club. Get a lot of products, and you can get beard growthing kits and beard grooming kits. Those are the best. I recommend the beard grooming kits. Make yourself look great and make yourself look good and make your grooming needs be met. With a Beard Club, 15% off discount at The Beard Club. Go to my website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Click on the affiliations page. Then, once you get to the affiliations page, click on the Beard Club logo. Once you click on the Beard Club logo, it takes you right there on X, Facebook, and Instagram. All you have to do is click on the link tree and then click on the Beard Club link there, and it'll take you to the link to the Beard Club. The Beard Club, proud partner of Pigskin Frenzy. Thank you for all that you do. Guys, college football day today. Got through that intro. Like that. Like that. Just a snap of the fingers. Honestly, my voice is a lot better. My throat's a lot better. It's mainly just in my nose, and it makes you just feel kind of blah. You know, once it reaches to your face and your throat, you know, is just, you know, have a little bit of sickness in your throat. Now that your throat's better, it just goes to your face and your head. A lot of pressure there, and you're just like, oh, man. And it kind of drains you a little bit. So I might be feeling a little bit drained, but we're still going to talk about some college football today. We have to talk about some college football today because we are starting our spring football results. Our spring outlooks are over. Spring football is about to be turned into the rearview mirror. Spring results are happening. We're going to, you know, talk about the same teams we talked about in our spring outlooks for the next few weeks again, but this time it will be our spring football results. And today, we're going to kick it off with like who we started it with. Alabama, Auburn, NC State, and Clemson. We will talk about those four teams. Guys, we're about a few months out from college football, by the way, from the new era of college football. It is about to be May. Today, it is the year of our Lord, April 30th, 2024. Not the year of our Lord. The year of our Lord is 2024, but you know what I mean. April 30th, 2024. On Tuesday, we are about to be in May. And after May hits, it will be June, July, then August. So about four months to about 3.5 more months until college football starts. We're still in the dreaded word off season, but around Pigskin Frenzy, it doesn't seem like there's an off season around here. There's a lot of work to be doing as we gear up for the college football season. We're gonna have a bunch of good episodes planned and lined up for this summer as we get ready for the fall seasons for college football and NFL football on Pigskin Frenzy. So stay tuned, keep plugging in on Pigskin Frenzy, and keep liking these episodes. About 3,100 listeners still, going on to 3,200, about to be at 3,200 listeners already. Surprisingly, big thank you there, and let's keep rocking and rolling with Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, let's talk about some spring football results. Let's dive deep into one particular. Let's go into Tuscaloosa. We cannot wait any longer for this because it is different. The A-Day game at Alabama is different. It was different when we saw it. Kalen DeBoer, now the new head coach at Alabama, bringing his own staff in there, bringing some of its players that he had at Washington in there. It's just a different feel, different atmosphere. Nick Saban was there, but he was watching from a distance. He wasn't telling him what to do. He wasn't on the field. He was watching it from a distance. Kalen DeBoer was on the field, coaching him, telling him what to do. A-Day game. It was a good attendance. Everybody wanted to see what was going on with Alabama. And there were some good things. There were some things that they need to work on. That's just how I see it. And that's okay. That's okay, because that is spring football in general. Going into the fall season, there's some things that you look at and you're like, okay, they're going to look pretty solid at that area. Okay, there's going to be some things I need to work on. There's also, majority of the time, there's usually, okay, this team's going to look like a lethal weapon in the fall. Okay, this team may not look so good in the fall. It's starting to worry me a little bit. But Bama had some stuff that they need to clean up, but not a lot. I mean, they had a lot of good moments, especially in the culture aspect. And that was one of the outlooks I gave for Alabama. How was the culture, and how was the style, and how was the mentality and the cultural shift going to look at that A-Day game? And let me go on and tell you something. He was bringing it in that A-Day game. They all looked hype. They looked ready to go. Kalen DeBoer brought a good atmosphere to just a spring football game. What's it going to look like on Saturdays in the fall? So Bryant Denny was going to be rocking and could be rocking with Kalen DeBoer in the fall. He looked like the cultural shift. Everything looked good. I really like that about them. I liked how hype he was. I liked how, listen, you're not going to replace a Nick Saban. Of course, you're not going to replace a Nick Saban, but you can be the best Kalen DeBoer you can be. And guess what? He's going to be the best Kalen DeBoer he can be. So he looked like he was poised, ready, and take on his own version of this football team to where he can lead them to on his own accord. So it was a good atmosphere-wise. There were some things that they could have worked on a lot better. The interior of the line looked really good. The O-line looked good. That's going to be a problem. You already got Tyler Booker on the interior of that O-line. You have a lot of guys like Jaden Roberts, Tylan Booker on the interior of the line, who are very experienced. And then you got James Brockmeyer in the middle. He looked good as well. He's just now starting to get into a little bit of the more rotation of it, but he is going to be a threat and a problem for defensive linemen as well this coming up fall. Those three looked really good on the interior. They were very physical. Their defensive front looked very physical as well. No problems on the line for me when it comes to Alabama. They looked really good on the line. I think what gets me a little bit and what strikes me is the quarterbacks, but we're going to get into the quarterbacks here in a little bit. And Jalen Milroe, we are talking about Jalen Milroe. So one guy that stuck out to me was Jeremy Bernard. You might have heard of him. He was at Washington. He transferred to Alabama when Kalen DeBoer took the job. There's a lot of guys on that receiving core at Alabama right now, Kendrick Law being one of them, Kobe Prentice being another, and Caleb Odom being another. All those three guys making plays for Alabama, but Jeremy Bernard may be that guy. They're looking for that dude who's going to replace Jermaine Burton, who's going to replace an Isaiah Bond after he went to Texas, and after Jermaine Burton got drafted by the Bengals last weekend. They're going to replace those guys. That's what we're looking for, right? So Well, you got guys like Jeremy Bernard who are now in here, and they are wanting to do it. Jeremy Bernard, he is looking to ready to be the man as wide receiver number one for this team. Made a lot of good plays. He looked really good on routes. He looked like he was reading the defense really, really well with coverages. And I think that's a very good quality to have in an offense like Kalen DeBoer. I mean, it's a good quality to have in every offense. Now, I'm not saying that, but in a specific spread type offense to be technical, technical with about reading coverages, that's really good quality to have. And he was very technical this Saturday or a few weeks ago in the spring in the A-Day game for Alabama. Jeremy Bernard, he looked good. I think he is a player that could probably be wide receiver number one in the fall. So Jeremy Bernard, he looks like he's going to be the man behind. And then they're behind him, very close, Kendrick Law and Lamar, not the rapper. Kendrick Law, Kobe Prentice, and Caleb Odom. Kendrick Law, Kobe Prentice, and Caleb Odom, Jeremy Bernard leading the way at the receivers. The receivers look good. The interior of the lines, they both looked really good. Running backs were exceptional. I mean, Jam Miller, of course, looked really good. He is going to be a star for this team, and he's going to lead this team this season. When it comes to running the football and bringing a very power based style of run on offense for this team. So Jam Miller looked really good as well. Justice Hades looked good, needs to clean up on a little bit of stuff, but not too bad. I think Jam Miller has the slight edge on starting this season, though, when it comes to running the football. When it comes to the quarterbacks, kind of in the middle. Ty Simpson made some good plays. He's staying. He's going to still be on the roster and be the backup to Jalen Milroe. Jalen Milroe most likely will start. He looked good on some areas. He looked bad on some areas. I think there was a lot of plays that he could have played a lot better on. A lot of deep balls that he threw, he missed. A lot of receivers that were open, he overthrew. Some decisions that he made some not so good decisions. I think he made some plays that were good. He made some plays that were bad. He connected deep on one play that was really special and big time play for a big first down for Alabama for the offense on that. And I think because of because of what happened, like two deep shots, he struggled after that. Speaking of Bernard, he had two good deep shots to Bernard. He looked really, really good throwing it deep to Bernard. Really, really well. He looked good. When you look at those two shots, he did good on. When you look at some medium throws, some short passes, too much heat, overthrew, made the wrong decision. I think what I was talking about with Jalen Milroe before the spring and around the Rose Bowl coverage, as I said, okay, the Rose Bowl's over. Let's talk about Alabama and what they need to do next during the offseason. Jalen Milroe needs to develop in a lot of areas. I said that, and it's still holding true. He needs to develop in some areas. I think the areas he needs to develop on, like I said, obviously, short passes, decision-making needs to be a little bit better, and more medium-range passes and more timely throws. I think he can be a way better quarterback if he does that. He's got the deep ball. He's got a can for an arm. He's got a deep ball. He can launch it. But it's about everything else to be a quarterback. He's got the intangibles. He's got to put them together. And he needs to put it together. If he doesn't put it together, are they going to win a national championship this season? You know what I mean? Are they going to win a national title? Are they going to compete in some of these games in the SEC? Because when you load up their schedule, and eventually when we talk about conference standing projections, we're going to talk about schedules and all that. We load up these schedules, and we load up Alabama's schedule. That's a very that's a difficult schedule. All right, you got Wisconsin week two. You have Oklahoma. You have Missouri. You have LSU. You have Tennessee. You have a lot of tough teams in that schedule. Georgia, even. You have Georgia. A lot of tough teams in that schedule. Jalen Milroe needs to be the guy for this team, and he needs to develop more and more in order for this team to try to reach the mountaintop again. And that's what this is about. They need to reach the mountaintop again without Nick Saban. And what do they need? They need Jalen Milroe to step up at quarterback. That's the only problem, really, I had with Alabama in this spring game. And that was Jalen Milroe played okay, but he didn't play like the quarterback that they needed to be. I think he needs to develop more during the offseason. As we go into fall camp, let's see what Jalen Milroe's got for him. Right now, he just needs to keep on developing and keep on being where he's at. I was a little underwhelmed because I thought he was going to be quite more developed than he was already. You know, since he you know pretty much started majority of the season and only missed one game, right? So let's see what happens. Let's see what goes down with Jalen Milroe. We'll see what happens with Alabama. They look really good on both sides of the ball. They look like a team that is not losing any steps besides that quarterback, maybe. But besides that, they look fine. They look good and ready to rock and roll under Kalen DeBoer's first season. And it's a new era in Alabama football as they enter the new era of college football. So that was Alabama's spring game, and there were spring results. And that was what I liked from Alabama. Speaking of Alabama, let's keep on with the theme of Alabama, and let's go to their rival, their in-state rival in the SEC, Auburn, going down to Auburn from the Iron Bowl, their most vicious rival and hated rival, Auburn. Let's talk about Auburn for a little bit. Hugh Freeze, second season, calling the shots. He's calling the plays on offense, and this is what we wanted to see from Hugh Freeze, blending in his own offensive expertise in this. What's going to happen at quarterback? Peyton Thorne, how is he going to look? And we're going to get to that here in a little bit. They're bringing the top Penn State wide receiver in, Keandre Lambert-Smith. He is now a part of the Auburn Tigers. He didn't play in the spring game, but he's a part of the Auburn Tigers now. So maybe after the spring game, they can find a way to get him in and help them out, especially in the red zone, because that's what we're going to talk about here in just a little bit for Auburn and help him out a lot in this Auburn offense. So some big things that I want to take away from this team. Special teams looks really good still. I think special teams was really kind of the strongholds for this Auburn team. This game, if games come down to a field goal for Auburn, special teams is on their side. Freshman kicker Towns McGowell, he looked good. He went perfect in this game. He's a freshman kicker. He looked like he was going to, end it all on one game. And I'm saying, like, end everybody's career in with the amount of field goals he was kicking and with the amount of kicking that he did for the special teams. He's a very good kicker. Towns McGowell's the future of this team. He was kicking in place of Alex McPherson. Alex McPherson is a strong kicker, good kicker for this team. It was nursing a hamstring injury. I expect McPherson to probably start. But you could also, if you need another kicker, Towns McGowell could be that guy for your team in Auburn. Special teams looks really, really good. I really like their special teams right now. I think they're kicking, getting the ball where it needs to be in clutch moments and in crunch time situations. I think that's going to be a problem for a lot of teams that have to play Auburn on their schedule. So I think that's really, really good thing for Auburn, and that's a good thing they have on their side. The receiving core looks good. You add Keandre Lambert-Smith to that equation now, but you got some freshman receivers like Cam Coleman. Cam Coleman looked really good. Freshman wide receiver. He can be a really, a solid threat in this offense, along with a veteran receiver in Keandre Lambert-Smith on this offense. So Cam Coleman, Robert Lewis is another. He looked good as well. Robert Lewis, he looked good for this team as well. Georgia State transfer receiver, he coming in and he played really well early on in the spring game. So you got two good receivers, freshman receiver in Cam Coleman, transfer receiver from Georgia State in Robert Lewis, and then you add Keandre Lambert-Smith. That's a very underrated receiving room for this team. And the receivers looked really good running routes. In some of the passes they did catch, they looked good. Catching some of the passes, they made plays. Auburn at receiver needs playmakers. They were lacking a lot of that last season. So I really like that from Auburn in the receiving core. They are getting some playmakers at the receiving spots, and that's what they really need. So, and then they, like I said, again, I'm going to keep mentioning it, added another playmaker into that equation with Lambert Smith coming in from Penn State. Come on, man. Let's go. If you're an Auburn fan right now, you're pumped up, all right? You got some playmakers at the receiving spot. What's going to happen in fall to utilize that? Those are some good moments and some bright moments for this team. At linebacker, they look good at linebacker, and that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see how they were going to look at linebacker. They look good at linebacker. They look physical at linebacker. They look physical on the defensive front as well. Not all the way physical yet. They need to work on some stuff still. I mean, everybody does, but they are getting there, and that's what I really appreciate about Auburn, especially as he enters his second season, and he's making strides in some key areas that's a need for Auburn. Now, there's one key need that Auburn needs, and it's not, it's kind of the same, and it's starting to worry me a little bit, and that's the red zone. And Auburn's offense in the red zone and making plays in the red zone and making plays at quarterback as well for Peyton Thorne. Peyton Thorne, quarterback for Auburn last season, is back for this year, graduate quarterback, and he is looking to try to right the ship on offense and develop into a stronger quarterback. The red zone was kind of not non-existent in the spring game. I think Peyton Thorne could have made a little bit of better plays. Throwing wasn't there in the red zone. Struggled to get into the end zone a lot. And that defense is where, and that's why the defense played a huge part. That red zone defense looks strong. So the red zone defense for Auburn is going to be a problem for anybody who's facing them in the red zone this season. I think they're going to get scored on, obviously. Everybody's going to get scored on, but it's going to be a problem. I mean, everyone's trying to face Auburn's, red zone defense. It's going to be an issue. When you look at their red zone offense, defenses are chopping at the bit to look at that. And they're chomping at the bit to look and say, oh, man, what I see right there, I see a team that is going to show a little bit of weakness in the red zone. I think that a lot of it had to do with Peyton Thorne a little bit. Not a whole lot. Some of it was some of the plays that were being ran, but I think some of it had to do with a little bit of Peyton Thorne. Now, Peyton Thorne, he made some big plays in this game. I'm not saying that. He made some big plays in this spring game. He did quite, probably, in my opinion, better than I thought he was going to do. I thought it was going to be a lot worse than what it was. He played actually a lot better than he did in previous games. Now, in some areas, he needs to clean up some decision making and some playmaking abilities in the red zone. And that is what is a big part of what's happening with Auburn right now. I think the red zone is a must. They need to get that cleaned up before fall hits, and they need to be able to finish drives effectively, especially if Peyton Thorne is going to be their starting quarterback. So that is my take on everything for Auburn's spring game. I think they look good. If I had to have a grade rating, if we're going back to school here for a second, a letter grade, I would say probably a C+ or a B- for Auburn, around that range. I think there was some stuff that they did really well on. I like the receiving, aspect of it. They played a lot of, they made a lot of plays. The receivers did. They look good on defense as well and very physical. I think the red zone is my biggest concern for Auburn and going into the 2024 season. So that's my thoughts on it. I want to see a little bit more from the red zone for Auburn going into 2024. So that was Auburn's spring game. Can't wait to see what they're going to do during the fall camp and as we get closer to the 2024 college football season. So that was Auburn. That was in Alabama as well. We're going to move from the SEC to the ACC now with Clemson and Clemson, South Carolina. And then we will go to NC State before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. So let's talk about Clemson. Let's talk about everything. Phil Moffa, running back. Who's going to step up behind him? That's what we were trying to talk about. And, you know, they look good running the football. They did. They look really good running the football. I think Phil Moffa was the star player, you know, for... On the ground, let's just put it that way. Star player on the ground, he ran the ball really, really well. But I think Phil Moffa, if you're talking about the running game for Clemson really fast, Phil Moffa was their guy. Now, running the football, there were some other guys, but Phil Moffa is still their dude running the football. I'm trying to go really quick to the my notes here for running the football or for the running backs. As I pause here, and I'm sorry for pausing. I'm not trying to pause. It's mainly because of the cold I'm dealing with, and I'm looking at the notes for the running backs. Okay, so Keith Adams Jr. Played a little bit in this spring game. He ran the ball really, really well. And he did really well by really just showing some explosiveness of, like, power. I would say he's more of a power back. He exploded a lot. He exploded a lot for power in his power running ability. Running fast, he's a good runner, but Phil Moffa is still their guy who brings that blend of power and speed. So Keith Adams Jr. did really, really well, but I think he was the one that stepped up behind Phil Moffa, but Moffa is still their guy at running back. So when you look at the running game was solid. When you look at the defensive depth that they got, their defense is physical, great. Peter Woods, defensive player, out for them. He was out for them Saturday. There were a lot of backups playing in this game, but that's good because they needed to get some experience in, get some practice in, get some more reps in case they are needed for these big time games. I would say AJ Hoffler and K Denhoff were two guys that looked really, really good. Sacks and pass deflections by both of those players. They look really good on defensive front and the defensive side of things for Clemson. A few weeks ago in their spring game, they look good there. Defense looked impressive. I think the offensive line looked physical, but I think there were some areas where they need to clean up on, and I think they break down a little bit, you know, too easy, if that makes sense. Too easy. That's a good way of putting it. Too easy. I think they look good up front. They're physical, but not physical to the point where they're going to give up sacks and give up plays. I think they need to help out Kay Klubnik a little bit. I think that they need to block better on both the ground and the pass. I think they need to be a little bit more physical when it comes to protecting Kay Klubnik. That's the main thing. I think their pass protection needs to be a little bit better. Run protection's there. Pass protection's there also, but not as much as the run protection. I think the pass protection needs to be there more because of some of the sacks that they gave up in the spring game. I think the offensive line's good, but not to where it needs to be. And it could potentially cost them in some areas. Kay Klubnik looked good, but I wanted to see more out of him. Kind of like the Jalen Milroe stuff in Alabama, right? Kind of like, okay, I want to see a little bit more out of him, and I was a little bit underwhelmed by him. He was good, and I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback, and I'm not saying he's underwhelming. I was just underwhelmed by the performance because I thought that it was going to be a game for him to where, okay, he's taking strides in his development going into fall camp going into the 2024 season, but it was kind of just hot and cold. Like, he threw an interception, made some bad decisions, made some good throws, and made some good decisions and some accurate passes, but also made some decisions that were just not there. You know, like, not very accurate, very good decision-making. And I think that was what my issue was with Kay Klubnik and going into this spring game. I think that those were a couple of my issues with Clemson going into this spring game. I think they're a very physical team on defense. I think their defense is what's going to keep them in some of these games. I think their offense and the running ability that they have on the ground is going to keep them in a lot of their games as well. I think Kay Klubnik has time to develop even more during the offseason, but I want to see more of his accurate. I want to see more accuracy from him, and I want to see more crisp and better decision making for him going in to fall camp. So that's pretty much it for Clemson. I think they look good overall. Like I said, letter grade again. If you want to go for a letter grade, I would say a B minus. Maybe C plus, maybe. Most likely a B minus. I think they did a lot of things right. I think their defense is very physical. I think they need to beef up a little bit on their O-line. Kay Klubnik needs to develop a little bit more. Running the football, they look good running the football. And with Phil Moffa, for sure. Keith Adams Jr. looked good as well. But running the football was a must for them, and they look good doing that. So B minus for Clemson in their spring football. And those are some of the things that I saw that caught my eye, especially from some of the spring outlooks that I mentioned from Clemson a few weeks back. So that was Clemson's spring results. Let's go with one more spring results before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy, and that is North Carolina State. And some of the stuff that we can talk about with North Carolina State. Brennan Armstrong, no longer there, but they have some new faces and some new faces at the quarterback area. And you may know this man from Coastal Carolina, transfer from Coastal Carolina, Grayson McCall. Grayson McCall, NC State's new quarterback, graduate transfer quarterback coming in for this season. I think NC State is an underrated football team that could probably shock everybody in the ACC, because you got two teams right now, in my honest thoughts, who are up there, and that's Clemson and Miami. But when you look at a third team that can come in there, or maybe a fourth team, you got Georgia Tech, you got Louisville still in there, and you got NC State. I think NC State could be one of those teams that shock a lot of teams and maybe get some victories and maybe start piling on some games that you really didn't expect them to win. So NC State could be a team, guys. Look at me when I say this. NC State could be a team that could be something, to mess with. Let's just hold on and let's see what's going on down with NC State. Grayson McCall looked phenomenal. He looked like he was in total command of that offense. There's a new face in there who transferred from Connecticut. Tight end Justin Jolie. Justin Jolie, he looked really, really good. Catching the ball, being a playmaker for this offense. And he, Grayson McCall early on found him on a lot of plays, especially for a short yards touchdown in the red zone, a 3-yard touchdown pass in the red zone to put him up. So freshman running back Jaden Scott, Duke Scott, coming in, and he played really, really well on the ground. He had a touchdown run, 3-yard touchdown run in the red zone. McCall was very efficient, 16 for 20, 205 yards. A lot of guys who, a lot of guys in this game look really, really good, and they could be a collective team on this team. Noah Rogers, 133 yards. Receiver Noah Rogers, 133 yards and 7 catches. He looked really good as well. He could be a top target for Grayson McCall coming up in the fall. They look good on the O-line. I think they were very physical on the O-line as well. I think linebackers was a very big surprise, especially after replacing Peyton Wilson. Peyton Wilson getting drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers this past weekend, replacing him was going to be tough. I think they may have found a couple of guys to replace him there, and doing it at a good at a good level when you got guys like Kamal Bonner and Caden Fordham, you know, replacing, like I said, replacing Peyton Wilson at that position at linebacker. You got two good linebackers there that could ball out this fall and help up in the middle and be physical. They looked very physical on up front. I think the defensive line could have been a lot better. I think the defensive line could have been a little bit better. If you want to add a critique in there, I think physicality on the defensive line could have been a little bit better. I think the linebackers were physical. I think the secondary was physical. I think that overall, NC State's a physical football team, but not physical enough on the D-line. I think the D-line probably needs to get cleaned up a little bit physically, but not too bad enough to the point where you're counting them out or anything. But NC State looked good in the spring game. They looked very underrated and a team that you can look forward to watching in fall. Offense looked good. They ran the ball well. Grayson McCall looks like he's in total command of that offense, and I'm very curious to see what North Carolina State is going to do in the ACC coming up in the fall. If you want to do a grade, I'd probably say B+, getting close to A-. I think NC State has some stuff to work on, but they're looking like everything's coming together with under Dave Clawson. So let's see. Let's see what happens. I think for NC State, I think under NC State and under them, I think we can say under Dave Dorian, I think this is going to be a successful season for him, and it could be a successful season for him going into the fall. Let's just see. This looks like a really good NC State team that could surprise a lot of teams this season. So maybe a B plus. A-, leaning towards that, but most likely a B+ for this spring game and these spring results for NC State. So that was Alabama, that was Auburn, that was Clemson, and that was NC State's spring football results. And we're out of time. Guys, a big thank you today for checking out Pigskin Frenzy and watching and listening on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon for college football coverage. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is share around with others and follow on there as well. Instagram, X, Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow, like the pages there. You're going to get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You're going to get you're going to get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's Instagram question, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com on the website. Check out the website. Learn more about me. Go to the affiliations page check out the beer club. Same as well as on my link tree for Pigskin Frenzy on social media. Go to the platforms page and pick out your platform to watch and listen to Pigskin Frenzy on. Guys, a big thank you again for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back and listen to some college football presented by me. Guys, Thursday, we are going to be back with Pigskin Frenzy for a little bit of a mini recap, a small recap, I would say really mini recap, but a winners and losers talk about the 2024 NFL draft, and that will be our final conversation, kind of. Not really our final conversation, but our final big conversation as a part of our coverage and our final bit of coverage of the 2024 NFL draft. So we're going to recap that and talk about the winners and losers of the 2024 NFL draft. Pigskin Frenzy's winners and losers of the 2024 NFL draft on Thursday. Until then, I'm Joel Norris signing off. Next week, we'll be back as well with more spring football results. UCF, Georgia Tech, LSU, and South Carolina are on tap next week, guys. Till Thursday, I'm Joel Norris signing off. We will see you then. For everybody out there, please and always, stay the course.